Very thing, but we don't have to because we get to be here, which is great. So, welcome again. We are talking about Hebrews again. Today we are going to be talking about a better tent. Not even the REI super tent that stands up to that kind of stuff, something even better yet. So, actually, have you guys seen those little tent hammock things? You string between trees and you're kind of in this hammock with a tent top, and those are really cool, but this is even better. So, let's invite the Lord into our time this morning, and then we'll talk more about that. So, Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us a way to a superior life, Lord, as we've been talking about these past several weeks. And we pray this morning, Lord, that you would remind us of what that means to each of us, what that means in our lives. Lord, that we would understand that the superior life through you is available to us every moment of our life. And so, Lord, we invite you into this time, and we ask, Lord, that you speak to our hearts today about that life through you. And we thank you for it, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So, tent camping. I had a couple interesting experiences in my life with that. About 1992, I think. Cindy and I had been married just about 5 years, and we're in a small young marriage group at church, and we decided, okay, we're going to go tent camping as a group. And so we head out Friday night. All of us had to work late, so we're in the dark driving along in July, and heading to eastern Washington. We're going to tent camp in Wenatchee. So we get all our stuff set up, and we're out there, and wake up the next morning on Saturday and realize about 8 a.m. it's probably 85 degrees. I don't know if you've ever camped in a tent in hot eastern Washington weather, but it's like you're in a greenhouse. So we wake up, and it's just ridiculously hot. And as the day goes on, it's 90, 95, 100, 105. Got up to 105 that day. And I remember thinking, wow, it's really warm here. I'm not sure this is a great idea. But what was really interesting in that was Cindy was 7 months pregnant at the time. So we're camping, and she's, 7 months pregnant in 105-degree weather. And I remember saying some version of this. I don't remember the exact words. It was like, is it really that uncomfortable? Yeah. So I went home and I studied the Bible, and I looked at the passage that said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church, and know when to keep your mouth firmly shut. So guys, if you're young, if you're newly married, I would encourage you, Garrett, you're here, look that verse up. You need to know that one. It's important. But I didn't, and I actually did learn that. A couple years later, we were camping, and again, we decided, okay, we're going to eastern Washington, same group of people, and maybe there's a commonality here. Maybe it's a good thing we're not hanging out with them anymore. So we're camping again, and we're again in Wenatchee. And again, it's in the summertime, and it's 100-plus degrees. And Stephanie's just a baby at that point. And Cindy, being new mom, new dad, first child, we decide, well, we're going to do cloth diapers for this kid. Because, you don't want your baby you don't want all the non-cloth. You want the cotton, the soft, nice experience for them. That included camping. So again, it's 100 degrees plus. We're camping, and we've got this big black bag, big plastic black bag of like greenhouse material, full of diapers. And this kid probably went through a diaper every 30 seconds, it seems like. So we have this gigantic, huge thing. We're just packing it along. It's 100 degrees. You really don't want to go there. So, but this time I knew. I didn't say a word. Kept my mouth shut, and it worked out all right, because that was the last time we ever did that, and I didn't get in trouble that time. So, because it wasn't my idea. All right, so we are talking about the better tent today. If you have your sermon notes, just a quick reminder, those are, I don't have one with me right here, but that's okay. On your chairs, it's your roadmap today, and I've been asked to try to fill in the blanks appropriately and accordingly to the outline, so I'll try to stick with it this time. But I will provide that for you afterwards if I miss something. So, thank you, Nick, I appreciate that. So, here you go, looks like this. So I'm gonna give you the first one for free right now. This is a quick recap. Chapter 7, we talked about a superior priesthood. Chapter 8, Randy's been talking about a superior covenant, a superior high priest bringing a superior covenant. And in chapter 9, we're looking at a superior tabernacle or sanctuary or a better tent. And so that is where we're going to go this morning. So a little quick recap. If you remember, Hebrews was written by author unknown. That wasn't his name. It is actually unknown author. We don't know who wrote it, although there's speculation. Sometime around 60 to 80 AD, written to Jewish Christians, second generation Christians. And we're looking at probably an area around Palestine. Most of the people, most of the Jews, first century were called Jews everywhere, but in the area of Palestine, they were actually referred to as Hebrews. So we know it was probably written to those people. And Hebrews 5:12 says, For though by this time you ought to be teachers. So this is written to a group who are not progressing in their faith. They're not progressing in their faith. And they're being pretty heavily persecuted. And actually, in the first century, the Romans heavily persecuted Christians, really is the only religion that they really targeted, because most other religions would actually accept the Roman gods and some of the Roman beliefs, but Christianity very heavily persecuted, which hasn't really changed a lot throughout the centuries. So we've got this group, they are being pushed out of their new faith. They're wavering. So essentially it's here's what you had, here's what you have, I need to show you this is a superior life. And Randy has been talking about everything superior, superior, superior. It is a superior tabernacle, a superior high priest, a superior covenant. The author is reminding this group that, no, what you have is better. Don't go back to the old ways. So, again, Hebrews 5:12, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. So Hebrews is telling them, is reminding them, first of all, what they had, but also reminding them of what they have, teaching them, no, this is what you have, this is where you need to go. So interestingly, though, by being an unknown author, think about when you study the Bible. Most of the time you read, say, Philippians. When you're studying Philippians and reading that book, you're somehow getting a picture and a perspective through the author. You know, Paul says, I'm suffering, they're suffering, and you relate to it that way. It's a filter that you use when you're studying. But Hebrews actually doesn't give us that. We don't know who the author was, and he doesn't really bring his own perspective into it. It's really more, we have to look at it from the perspective of the audience. So we don't have that extra layer, we don't have that extra guide that is provided for us in some of those books. So I think that's important. I think God did that for a reason. I think he withheld the author in his life, and I think he withheld the writing of this and did it in this style for a pretty specific reason. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. So through chapter 8, again, Randy talked about the high priest of the new covenant. In chapter 9, the author reveals how the earthly tabernacle is a parable or symbol for the new covenant in Christ. Parable or symbol for the coming of Christ. So let's take a look at that. Chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section, in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place, having the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, which I'd love to see. It's probably even cooler than the Indiana Jones version. In which was a golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's staff that budded and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. So we have a pretty, feels like a pretty exhaustive list, really, of what it looked like in the old tabernacle, the old tent. But if you read in the Old Testament, if you go to Exodus, you really get an exhaustive list. If you look at Exodus 25 through 27, it actually has three full chapters devoted to exactly what this looked like. And it's got measurements and down to the most specific tiny detail what the tabernacle, what the tent should look like, and how it should be set up. And then if you jump to Exodus 35, there's five chapters of how to actually operate within that system. So eight full chapters detailing all of these little specifics about what that would look like. Now, interestingly, Moses didn't have to write